Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
What's up? And welcome to Forte Catholic Radio. It's your host, Taylor Schroll, recording in the Red Sea Radio Studios, where it is currently 6,997 degrees Fahrenheit. It is very, very hot, and we have come to you today to bring you a hot podcast, hot radio show. However you are listening, thanks for joining us today, whether you are on the podcast, if you are listening on Red Sea Radio here in Central Texas, or if you are listening on St. Michael Radio somewhere in Oklahoma. I'm not sure where Tulsa is. Or if you're listening on Cairo Radio in the Carolinas, welcome in to Forte Catholic, where we are all about making Catholicism fun again. I am here with Producer Sam, as always. Producer Sam, your bracelet and your shirt match today. It looks fantastic. How are you?
I am good, just like my fantastic bracelet and shirt that match. Boom.
Good content, Dad. Sam, you are fantastic.
Any
and everyone loves you.
Time.
All right. We got a great show planned for you today. I want to talk to you in this first segment about my very, very stupid week that I just had. Mm. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It all started in a galaxy far, far away.
Jinx.
A long time ago. Some time ago. That joke will come back later in the show, I promise. So, I had a really dumb week. And for those of you who have listened to the show in the last few weeks, you have heard me say every episode, I'm a little under the weather today. And then I don't know if any of you were like, that's odd. He's been under the weather every week. I thought it was odd too. I went to the doctor and they thought I had the pneumonia. That's a weird word. Mm. Pneumonia.
Never heard of
it. I don't have pneumonia.
That's
but
good.
Apparently I've had bronchitis for a month.
And ain't nobody got time for that.
I didn't have time for that. I was just like, whatever. My body isn't working. But I have things to do, so whatever. So I went to the doctor. They told me You have bronchitis.
You got the bronchitis.
I think you also have this this thing they call the asthma.
Got the asthmos.
So most of the time when I do the show, I was like, what's up? Running out of breath.
We'd have to cut that out and do it again. It was
it was just a lot. Absolutely beautiful. So that's how my week was. I was recovering from the bronchitis. And, you know, just trying to take full breaths and not succeeding. So that's how my week was going. But I still had a bunch of stuff going on. For those of you that don't know, I am a full-time missionary with Ablaze Ministries, which means that my salary is completely fundraised. So I spent all week fundraising last week so that I wouldn't be so stressed out about money. Hooray! So,
and you could pay for your doctor bills.
Yeah, pay for the doctor bills.
Yes.
Food for my family.
That is very important.
Which food for my family is part three of this bad week that I've had.
Oh, no.
Just stay tuned, you shepherd lady. Okay. So getting through the week, I did the show. I was meeting with people, sending emails about fundraising stuff, and it went pretty well. I got some new donors last week. Hooray.
Good job.
So things were going all right, making it through the bronchitis. And then Friday, I actually came here into the studio to be a guest on somebody else's show.
That's right.
Yeah. So I was it's going to come out soon. I'll share about it whenever we get there. It's very, very secret right now. Only I can know. Producer Sam doesn't even know.
I don't even know.
Because she doesn't care and never asked. Okay. I would have told her if she asked me. So, Friday, Sam.
Yes, Friday.
I had just done this radio interview. It was fun. Right. Just feeling good.
Right.
And then I decided to go get some lunch. Do you know what you had for lunch on Friday?
No, Friday. No.
Well, good. I'm glad I asked. So I ate lunch at about 4:30 p.m. somewhere approximately between 4:15 and 4:30. The timeline will make more sense in a minute. I go to get my lunch at almost dinner time because I starved myself. Hashtag bronchitis. And I'm leaving. I'm two exits from my house. And I'm in this lane to turn right onto the highway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm behind a bunch of other cars. So I'm stopped. So I'm just sitting there. And I had this little Mazda car. Like, very large man, very small car. Like, I shouldn't be able to fit into it. Like, every time I stand up, I get out of it. I'm like, how did I get out of there? You know? So I'm sitting there just minding my own business, listening to a podcast, and all of a sudden, my entire car shakes and this loud noise. Pow! I'm like, wow, like, what just happened, right? This huge work truck, like built by Freightliner. So, like, not like the front of it is like the size of an 18 wheeler, but it's not a full 18 wheeler on the back, you know?
Right, right.
It hit me. I got hit by a car.
That seems bad.
And so, but here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Little car.
Right.
Very, very large truck. It hits me. I look to my left and all I see is black about 7 inches from my face because this car is zooming past me. I mean, like, he wasn't going super fast. He's probably going like 20 or 30 because, like, my lane at the light had a bunch of people at it. His lane did not. So he was just going to go up to the light.
Right.
His 4.5-foot wheel swiped the back of my car.
Right.
I very much noticed that he hit me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He did not notice that he hit me.
He didn't notice at all?
No. So this was a hit and run and chase. So he hit me. I got out of my
and
car.
And you ran.
I didn't physically run.
Oh, okay. I was like, this just got so much more exciting.
I'm chasing him down. I wouldn't have caught him because the light turned green.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
And we're on this like major highway. Anyway, so I get out of my car. I looked. I was like, yeah, like there's damage to my car, right? So I get back in my car and I chase after him. I pull up. I like, you know, zoom up. I pull up in the lane next to him. Roll down my window. I'm honking my horn, which, like, by the way, the horn in my car absolutely matches the size of the car. You know, and I'm like, you know, waving out of the car, like, pull over. And this guy's looking at me like, what is happening? He pulls over. And I'm like, I get out of the car and he's like, what? And I'm like, you hit me. He's like, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. I wouldn't have missed this. It shocked the bejesus out of me, right? And so he's there. He denies the whole thing. He looks out, doesn't see any damage. He calls his boss. Boss is like, he didn't hit you. I'm like, he hit me. We call the cops. I have this picture. I took a picture of, like, you know, took a picture of the damage, took a picture of, like, whatever. The cops come. There's like seven cops. It's my car, his car, seven cop car, or like five cop cars and a fire department truck or whatever. It becomes this huge ordeal for this really small fender bender. Like, there is damage to my car.
Right.
That I want to get fixed.
Right.
But it was this whole ordeal, and then, like, they were being really rude, so the cops just ended up, like, separating us or whatever. I was like, whatever, you know? He hit me, and then, like, so they found out, like, they found the scuff marks on his tire, like, for sure, he hit me. Anyway, so that's how I spent my afternoon on Friday.
My
was
gosh.
On the side of the road in 105-degree weather with some dude saying he didn't hit me after he just almost killed me.
So, like, after you saw the scuff marks on your car, like, did you, like, have this moment where you, like, make eye contact or, like, where you're like, yeah, I told you and you did it and now you know? Or, so, like...
No, like, I mean, like, they had separated. They were living. They thought I was lying. I'm like, I'm not lying. Like, but I watched from afar.
Uh-huh.
The moment that, like, the police investigator, like, showed them the marks on the tire, and they were like, oh, yeah. You know, like, I told you. Like, I'm not going to lie. Anyway, it was this whole ordeal, right? So that's Friday. Friday night, Samantha Shepherd. I get home and I go to get water out of my freezer because I've been outside in the
heat.
You're
parched.
Very parched.
It's
right?
6,000 degrees. I don't know how much you said.
No,
earlier.
That's today. Oh, okay. Friday it was only 105.
Oh, that's good.
So, somebody's calling me. Ignore. Okay. So, it's God. Sorry, I ignored you. So, I go to get water, and you know, like, our freezer has that, like, water dispenser thing, you know, like, mm-hmm. you put your cup under. I go to get water in my cup and instantly feel water on my feet, and I'm like, wait a second.
That seems bad.
This isn't correct. I look down. There's a huge puddle of water under the freezer. I open the freezer up. It's all the ice melting in the freezer.
Oh, no.
And, like, our food is, like... defrosting very quickly. The freezer had stopped working. So we're like, okay, this is weird. Like, maybe it just looks like, you know, we had had it on, like, not super cold. You know, you can adjust the temperature, whatever.
Right.
And I turned it, like, up some more. I was like, oh, maybe it just, you know, the settings weird, whatever. Came back, like, an hour, 2 hours later. It was getting worse. And I'm like, okay, it's broken. So, like, we moved all the stuff from the freezer into the fridge. And we're like, okay, like, I'll call somebody tomorrow and we'll get it fixed. And so the next morning, wake up, the fridge had stopped working.
Oh,
so, like,
perfection.
You know, I told you earlier that feeding my family would become an issue.
It has now become
the
issue.
All of our food is now very much struggling.
Right.
So,
right.
This is Saturday morning, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I wake up, fridge isn't working. I go to call call a repairman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call the first one. Closed. Call the second one. Closed. Call the third one. Closed. Call the fourth one. Closed. Call the fifth one. Oh, I'm so angry, Sam Shepherd. The first question I asked was, can you get somebody to come out today? Oh, yeah, sure. Tell me what's going on. Let me get your information. I gave him all my information. I was on the phone with, I'm not going to name the place, for 10 minutes.
Okay.
8 to 10 minutes. And then they said, okay, we'll send somebody out. Our earliest we can come out is Thursday. I was like, are you kidding me? Literally, the first question I asked you was, can you send somebody out today? He said, yeah. Like, you lied to me. I'm just livid at this point, right?
Right, right.
So all this stuff is just building up. The bronchitis, and then the getting, the hit and run and chase and stop, you know, like, and then the freezer, and then the fridge, and then, oh, man.
New repair guy.
The new repair guy. So I finally get the repair guy to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, for sure. Like, it's this part. The only thing is, like, nowhere is open until Monday.
Mm.
So, like, dang it. It's currently Saturday. How are we going to eat?
Just cook everything in the refrigerator.
Oh, Sam Shepard.
I had nothing for else. That's all I had.
I had Sam. Okay, so like we like my wife's friend lives behind us. So like my wife took. I was livid. My wife took a baskets full of food and like put them over our fence to our neighbor to put it in the fridge. So like all of our food is at the neighbor's house and we're just like, what are we going to do for food? We're, you know, eating cereal with no milk all weekend and
stuff. That's how I normally eat cereal though.
Oh man.
Just want to say that. Okay.
So my life in struggle is like your life normally. Glad to hear. So just a rough week and then Monday go to the shop. Of course, you know, I go to get the part. They're out.
Of course.
Of course. And then they say, we have to order it. So we're currently recording this on Tuesday. Sam, they have told me that the part might be in tomorrow. We haven't had food in our house since Saturday.
So did you decide to just do like a fasting, just offer
it
up?
We're very holy. We've been offering it. No, we've been frustrated and trying to scrounge things together. Jeez Louise. So if you've been listening to the show recently, I've been talking about some of the frustrations that I have had with, you know, bad music. We had an episode on that in church or... which is, you know, running theme on the show, like struggles in mass where mass gets boring or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that these struggles this week in this rough week, like made my faith life struggle, but it made me realize like how much like I've actually been like frustrated in my faith, stressed out in my faith. Right.
Yeah.
So it's where it's like, you know, I can. You know, like, here's the deal. If you have a big conversation, like, let's say you and I are fighting, like, we fight right now.
Okay.
We're probably not going to resolve it right now. We might try to, like, make, okay, it's like, okay, I'm sorry, let's talk about this tomorrow once we've cooled down. Or let's talk about this 2 days from now. Like, here on the air is not the time to do that, right?
Right, right.
So, we have these big conversations looming, and oftentimes we put them off, right? So... And like that's natural, and sometimes it can be good. Sometimes, I mean, if you go too long, it can be detrimental, right? Fair enough. So, like, you know, conversations with my wife, we have to have big conversations, whether we are having an argument about something, or it's just an important decision that we need to make. Like sometimes, you know, I get home, it's been a long day, or she's frustrated with something, and it's like now we have some free time, but it's not the time to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's wait a few days.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what I've been doing with God. It's like, I'm really frustrated with certain, you know, with some of the things that I've shared on the air and some things that I'm not going to share on the air, right? Certain things about like, you know, boring homilies, bad music, and then just frustrated with like leadership in the church or, you know, all kind of stuff going on and a lot of personal stuff too. And I just didn't want to have that conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I didn't run away from God. I wasn't completely ignoring God, but I was like, I don't want to have that big conversation because I'm really frustrated about it.
Right.
So I just avoided it and avoided it and avoided it. And then finally on Saturday night, which is, if you've been paying attention this segment, the height of all of this frustration, right? I haven't eaten in 3 days. I'm just kidding. We ate. We found ways to do it. It was just very frustrating. So Saturday night, I sat down and Sam, you're sitting down, but I want you to prepare yourself for what I'm about to say.
Okay.
I read a book.
What?
On Saturday night, right? I listen to podcasts. I make podcasts because I'm a 99% auditory learner.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book.
Wow.
On Saturday night. And it was all about spiritual warfare and how the evil one attacks us. And I'm just like, this is what's happening. There was a one line that really stuck out to me, and it was like, Satan doesn't need to like destroy us, to destroy our faith in God, to win. He just needs us to just lose our focus, to just start focusing on other stuff, to put other things first. Wow. Then he's won, right?
Yeah.
And like, I was like, this is starting to happen with me. So I need to address that. So I sat down Saturday night. And I was just like, look, God, like I'm frustrated. I'm struggling. I need your help. And I finally just voiced all of that. And It's not like everything's all rosy and great now, like my freezer still doesn't work, and I'm still a little frustrated in my faith and still a little stressed out. But it's like things were going downhill till that moment, and now things are on the uptick again. So we all have frustrations in our lives. We all have stress in our lives, and these things can come into our faith, can even start in our faith. The first thing we have to do is acknowledge these things, to bring them to God, to talk to people in our lives about them. There's a choice we have when we get frustrated. Are we going to keep going, or are we going to run away? I chose to keep going. I hope you do the same. We'll be right back for our second segment of the show. Howdy, folks. I have some exciting news for all of you. My friends Michael and Tony, who I have broken bread with, shared a drink with, we've done some events together. They run Catholic Balm Co. I want to tell you all about it because I have partnered with them. So they run the absolute coolest Catholic company around, where they make beard balm. No, not bombs. They don't blow up. Balm, like there is a balm in Gilead. B-A-L-M for beard. So if you have a luscious beard like mine and want it to become even more luscious, here's what you do. Go to CatholicBalm.co/Forte, F-O-R-T-E. Every purchase you make there not only supports Catholic youth ministry through their company, but also comes back and supports Forte Catholic as well. But what can I give for you? Here is your special discount code for 10% off. Oh, did I say 10%? We're going to make like the 1984 movie Spinal Tap and turn that discount up to 11. Use the code FORTE, F-O-R-T-E, for 11% off your first purchase. Any purchase made through the link continues to support the show and youth ministry. This partnership is so awesome. Even if you don't have a beard, someone you know does. And it might be pretty scraggly and needs some help. Go get some help from Catholic Balm Co. Also, if you don't have a beard, they have things like lotion, lip balm, and more. Once again, head over to CatholicBalm.co/Forte to find all the products you need and continue to support Forte Catholic and youth ministry in the United States. Enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. This is your host, Taylor Schroll. If you've ever listened to the show before, you know that usually in the second segment, this is where we take a break from our conversation that we are having and invite on a guest. Well, today's guest finds himself as a member of the Catholic priesthood, and every now and then, these members of the Catholic priesthood get called in to do something last minute, like, you know, fill in for their pastor to say masses and hear confessions whenever they have a podcast appearance scheduled. So sadly, that is what happened today to our good friend, Father Goyo. But there is hope, friends. We are already in the process of rescheduling. Here's a funny story around this, right? So I have been messaging him solely through Twitter direct messages because Twitter is where we met. It's where we had a conversation, a few conversations that have been quite hilarious. So I messaged him earlier, didn't get an answer. Messaged him again, didn't get an answer. So I got to check out, like, okay, maybe on Facebook, you know, like in Facebook Messenger, you can like call people. Go to check him out there. Didn't work. Then I go to his Instagram, and I find something quite interesting. A lot of people, especially people of his caliber with his many, many thousand followers, will have like a, you know, message me button or an email button. Well, I see for him that there is a phone button, like call me. So I'm like, okay, like maybe this is his like parish number, you know, so that people can call him to schedule confession or whatever. Maybe it's like a ministry number or something like that. I don't know what's going on. So I call the number and It rings. It goes to voicemail. And I hear his personal voicemail. It's like, this is his personal cell phone number. Like, this is crazy and, like, bold that he has this just open to the public so people can, like, call him. So I text him, and I know that he's going to get it because it goes to an iMessage. I have an iPhone. I can tell that he has an iPhone because it goes to an iMessage. I send him a message. And I'm like, hey, are you going to be able to come on tonight? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't because this and this and this came up. I said, okay, no problem. We'll work it out. We'll reschedule. No big deal. And then after we work it out, he's like, wait, how did you get my number? Did I give it to you? And I was like, Father, it is publicly on your Instagram page. And he's like, oh, no, that's terrifying. So he's like, I don't know how to do it. So I taught him how to take the number off. So that's why I feel comfortable sharing this story on the air, because now if you go to his Instagram page, you can't find his number. I was the last lucky soul to make him so unlucky for somebody just randomly to get his phone number. To be fair, he would have had to give it to me anyway since he was going to come on the air. But we will talk to Father Goyo at another time. So we still are going to have an interview today. Blaine Tamez, a recent high school grad, is going to come on to talk about his faith journey, how he stuck it out in high school, stuck his faith out, and continued to live out his faith and grow as a leader in the faith throughout high school with all the temptations and the struggles in that, and how he's still doing that now as a graduated man. But here in this segment, I want to continue our conversation from the first segment. If you are just tuning in on the radio, quick catch up. I had a really, really bad week. That snapshot, I had bronchitis. I was involved in a hit and run where I got hit for sure. It was the other guy's fault. My fridge and freezer stopped working over the weekend and couldn't get a replacement part because everyone's closed on the weekends. And also, I just not only frustrated and stressed in like my normal life, but also just frustrations and stress in my spiritual life as well. So that's where we kind of left off. I left off of this conversation that I had with God on Saturday. That was like a literal come to Jesus moment. Like, Jesus, like, I'm frustrated. This is what's going on. Laid it all out. And it's not like everything was rosy after that, but like my spiritual life was going down, 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 down. And now, after Saturday, it just started going back up again. It's on an upward trajectory. God not only talked to me and gave me some peace on Saturday night, but we had a Bible study with our staff at Ablaze Ministries on Monday morning, and we got my small group was talking about this section of John chapter 6. Now, if you're not familiar with John chapter 6, this is the bread of life discourse, where Jesus is a lot of famous words that you've probably heard, famous sayings that you've heard come from John 6. Like, if you eat my body and drink my blood, then you will have life eternal. Hard sayings, you know, the whole famous line of John 6:66, chapter 6, verse 66, where people walk away from him. That's where we are at. And it was just kind of interesting reading it this week, because I've read this passage a lot. I've heard it in Mass quite a bit. But this week, I saw it with a new lens. I think I brought my frustrations into it, and I saw and really connected with the frustration of the people in the crowd that were hearing this and were struggling with this and questioning this and ended up walking away. So here we go. Verse 26 is where we're going to start. People keep asking questions of Jesus, and he doesn't answer them. It's a pretty typical thing. It's one of our favorite things here at Forte Catholic, that anytime you ask Jesus a question, you're probably going to get either another question or he's going to talk about something else. He's a great, great, great politician. So here we go. One verse back, chapter 25. When they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them, Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. And I'd be standing there, like, for the first time I realized, like, yeah, that's cool, Jesus, but when did you get here? Like, that was our original question that we had. So, they didn't retort to him. Instead, they asked a different question. What can we do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he sent. And they're like, okay, we got an answer for that one. That's fantastic. So then Jesus continues talking. He goes a few more verses, and this is all great stuff, but we're going to hone in on these questions that were asked that didn't really get answered. So in verse 41, it says, the Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Like, we know this guy. We know his mother and father. Then how can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them and said to themselves, stop murmuring among yourselves. It's like, this is the moment that's like, oh, like you were talking behind his back and he heard you. So I just think that's absolutely hilarious because Jesus totally calls them out and they're like, oh no, I can't believe that he heard us. But then he goes on, stop murmuring amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. And I can see them sitting there. It's like, okay, he heard us murmuring, but he should have heard our question. Like, how can he say he came down from heaven? Didn't answer that one either. So already I'm putting myself, I've always read this and I never really saw this whole question, like different answer. And so I started thinking about it and I was like, why is Jesus doing this? First of all, like, he is the master teacher. We agree on that. But this is not how I answer questions. So what can I learn from this? And I think there's this draw where he's drawing them in. Because he's like, you're missing the point. Because I can see Jesus being frustrated by some of these questions that are just kind of random. But then I can see them being frustrated, asking seemingly good follow-up questions and getting a different answer. And I think that I can see this a lot in my personal spiritual life, where it's like, I'll ask a question to God, like, why is this happening? Why did I have such a bad week last week? Like, why is this struggling? It's like, okay, insight into last week, like, money has been tight. So I spent all last week fundraising, and fundraising went well. I shared about that a little bit in the first segment. But how our fundraising works is when people give now, I get it next month. So while money is tight and there is hope in next month because so many people were generous in partnering with us, like, here's my car getting hit, and here's our fridge and freezer not working, and all this stuff just kind of piling up, and I don't get what's going on. I don't get why this is happening. And I ask a question and I don't get the answer that I wanted or expected. So I'm in this spot, like, how am I going to react to this frustration in my daily life, in my family life, in my home life, in my getting hit by a car or been hit by a big truck life, in my radio life, in my ministry life? How am I going to respond to these struggles? And we have two options that we see here in the text. Because Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. And the famous verse, 666, as a result of this, many of his disciples, followers, these weren't just random people that heard him for the first time today. These are followers of his. They returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. And if we're being honest, like, I've had moments like that where it's like, I'm just tired. I'm tired of the frustration. I'm tired of church politics. I'm tired of these frustrations. I'm tired of trying to pray and not hearing anything. I'm tired and frustrated. So here's one option, but what's the second one? Verse 67, Jesus then immediately turns to the 12 and says, do you also want to leave? And Simon Peter answers with those famous words, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." And so often, when I have read this at least, and I think when I've heard homilies on this, it's all focused on this great statement of faith from Peter. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe. But all this week, I have been so encouraged by and just holding on to his first question. Because that's where I'm at right now. Master, to whom shall we go? So I saw for the first time this frustration in the disciples that were questioning and not understanding and asking questions and not necessarily getting answers, but getting this amazing teaching about the Eucharist, something that is hard to understand. But they didn't stick around. They didn't stick it out. And like, I'm not going to make that choice. I'm going to make the choice, even if I can't and I struggle to make this great statement of faith that Simon Peter has. In my worst moment where I am struggling, I am holding on to, where else am I going to go? There is nothing else for me. I have seen the truth in the Eucharist that this chapter speaks so eloquently about. I have seen the truth of the church. I have experienced God in my personal life, in my prayer life, in the Eucharist, through praise and worship, through the scriptures, through all of these different things that the church offers. Where else am I going to go? Because I look at the two options. There's really only two: keep following God or walk away. Those are the two options presented to us, and those are the two options that we all have every single day. And there are days that we are strong, where I've had more days than not where I'm like, God, you are awesome. You are so good. Thank you for everything. But I do have days, and I know you do too, just exasperated, frustrated, but holding on and standing on the rock of Christ and the church that he gave us. Master, to whom shall we go? That exasperation, but trust in there, because Jesus has proven himself over and over and over again. So that was super encouraging for me this week, and I'm already feeling better and on the rebound. Please continue to keep me in your prayers for my relationship with God and my relationship with the church, for my health, because I shared earlier that has been struggling, still trying to figure out what is going on. Also, pray for my fundraising. I'm a full-time missionary, which means that I fundraise my salary, which means that friends, churches, family, people that have been influential in my life, I ask them to partner with me, mostly monthly. And that's the money that I get to continue in the ministry that I love so much. Please pray for me in that. If you would like to support us and the mission of Ablaze Ministries, of creating the next generation of youth ministers and impacting our youth, our young people of the church for Christ and leading them to him, I would love if you could support me. Reach out to me. You can go to ablazeyouth.org. That you find all the ways to give. We are about $500 away in monthly donations from what we need. Reach out to me if you can help. That would be fantastic. I have some other good news. I'm gonna end this segment on some encouragement. The episode last week with Everyday Catholics, we did a crossover event that I talked about last week. They were guests on my show. The next day, their episode released. So go check out my appearance on Everyday Catholics called The Art of Conversation, their most recent episode. We had a lot of fun. Also, in the midst of me being down this last... Oh, that was a nice little voice crack there. Congratulations. Thanks, bronchitis. In the midst of that, I had this conversation in Facebook on the Forte Catholic Facebook page with this guy named Corey. And long story short, we had this awesome conversation about how he and his entire family are going through RCA and becoming Catholic. We were just going back and forth, talking about life, that sort of thing. He had this quote that absolutely made my day. He said, and I didn't make this up. He wrote this. I copied it from Facebook. I love the show. Between you and Father Mike Schmitz, I have learned a lot, lady. You've been a blessing to me. And I was like, dude, I responded, dude, this is the first time me and Father Mike Schmitz have ever been used in the same sentence. So thank you so much for that. All right, friends. Well, we are going to come back for our final segment of the day here in just a few seconds with Blaine Temez. He is the man. We're going to talk about the same conversation, just keeping it going with him and his perspective on continuing to grow in our faith, even through the temptations. We'll be right back. Taylor, the last commercial was really long. Make this one quick. Okay, head on over to ForteCatholic.com. You can find all things Forte Catholic, like old podcast episodes, all things to book Taylor to come out to your parish to speak and or lead worship. Also, go like, rate, comment, subscribe to the show, especially in iTunes. It's very, very helpful. You haven't done it yet. Go do it now. Bye. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. We're here in the studio. It is currently, let me check my phone. Yep, 7,000 degrees outside. It is currently 7,000 degrees. It has increased by 3 degrees in the last 6 minutes. It is ridiculously hot outside. We are burning up for you, baby, like the Jonas Brothers, to bring you this show. I bring up the Jonas Brothers because there was a time that they were everybody's high school heartthrob. And now we have somebody in studio who attempted to take their crown and did not get it. Blaine Temez. Did I say your last name right? Yes, you did. I'm very proud of myself.
Yes, you did. And I give you props because half the telemarketers that call me Tames. You know, like taming a lion.
You cannot be tamed.
I can't.
And you can't replace the Jonas Brothers.
No, I cannot.
But the Jonas Brothers have never been on the show. But
true.
But you now have.
Yes, I have.
And you have been a model for this Forte Catholic Make Catholicism Fun Again hat since day one.
Day one, yes. As soon as it came out, I messaged you and I was like, Taylor, I want one of these hats. Sure enough, the next day, got it.
There you go.
And I actually stole AJ's style a little bit with the clip and the pick on the bill.
Yeah, that's everybody can see that. I'm really glad that you shared that. So, Blaine, you just finished your illustrious high school career.
Yes.
That you actually ended up passing all your classes?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, I was worried there for you for a little while.
I was too. Algebra 2 wasn't looking too hot.
We'll not talk about my Algebra 2 class. So you were in Brenham. You were in the youth ministry program that I worked in.
Correct.
And I would show up every now and then, and we became friends. And you ordered a hat, and you have been listening to the show for how long now?
Since I found out about it, actually.
Yesterday. No, just kidding. I don't know.
No, it's been longer than that.
At sometime. Sam. Can you look up what sometime means on the internet?
Yes.
Okay. She's Googling that. We'll get back to her in just a little while. So you wanted to come and share a few things about your high school experience and your transition out of high school experience and what that meant for your faith. So let's take a step back and let's talk about what did your faith life look like growing up?
Growing up, my faith life really looked, you know, promisingly strong. You know, growing up in a Catholic community and, you know, parents always take me to church on Sundays, you know, always getting me involved in Sunday school and whatnot. And then kind of going into middle school.
Did you do better in Sunday school or Algebra 2 class?
Sunday school.
Attaboy. The one that doesn't count for a grade. Good job, buddy.
Of course. And just kind of going through middle school and junior high, it was more of like more along the lines of, you know, kind of going through the motions, you know, and going into high school, that's when the Ablaze Ministries came into Brenham. And, you know, I was really timid to go to the youth, you know, gatherings at first because, you know, I really wasn't in sync with my faith at the time. And so...
It's funny you bring up NSYNC because they were the high school heartthrobs when yeah. I was very, very young.
For some reason, I knew he was about to go there. He's going to go there. Yeah, but no, I got involved and, you know, my freshman year was really the turning point to where I had to decide, you know, okay, you know, because when you step into high school, you can spot me on this if you want. You see so many like cliques and, you know, just different groups and you're like, where do I go? You know, as an individual. And honestly, for me, finding myself through my faith was the best decision I ever made because it showed me who I really was and how I could express myself through praising God and helping others. Cause you know, that's what we're told to do pretty much is, you know, at the end of the mass, whenever a father says, go forth in peace, you know, it's not like run out of the church, you know, and cause an uprising.
Run over each other in the parking lot.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's just like go out and, you know, be peaceful to everybody and, you know, just be a nice person, you know. And that's kind of who I shaped myself into being starting my freshman year. And just going through high school, you know, it was a lot to take in, you know, because you have things like, you know, the cool kids.
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you had hair or
yeah. Okay. It's been all downhill from there
or down face, you know,
there you like go. Down, there you go. Yeah. The hill of my head is so big that often people say that it's much like a small hill.
I almost thought you were Bruce Willis when I walked in here, honestly.
I hear he got roasted this weekend.
He did. But you're not morphing into an Academy Award. So that's,
The Academy Award would have to get much chubbier.
Cajun food on deck.
There you go.
But no, yeah, finding my, if I were to give advice to anybody to, you know, going into high school and if they asked me, you know, how did you find your place? You know, I would say be yourself because, you know, well, first of all, find out who you are because honestly, you know, they in school, you know, they always push, you know, go to college, you know, you should go to college or you should go do trade school, whatever the case may be. And, you know, it's a lot of question because, you know, that's pretty much the start. High school is the start of your adult life. You know, you got to figure out what you want to do and where you want to go, stuff like that. So that's a big question for a lot of freshmen. And, you know, I know I sound like everybody else that says, you know, it's going to be okay. But, you know, you have to sit there and evaluate yourself before you go any further. And I think that enriching yourself in your faith is a great start, you know.
Right. So, yeah, it's interesting because when I think about high school, like you said, the cliques. And then I also think about, like you said, finding your place. It's like, where do I belong in all this? And that's something that probably the first big time that we experience it is in high school. But you experience that again when you go into college, when you go into the workforce, when you go into a new job, when you go into a new church, when you move, like that feeling and trying to find your place and kind of recreate yourself is both awesome because, like, I was a loser in junior high. And I went to this new school and I got to just kind of recreate myself. There was more people. Not everybody knew me. And then college, you get to do this. When I went off to college, it was the same exact thing. I think I three people from my high school went to my college. Mm-hmm. So like nobody knew me. I got to completely
start
reshape
over.
Yeah. Myself. And like, what are you going, how are you going to do that? And I think my high school experience shaped that a lot in me because in high school, I was more swayed by what everybody else wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I got to college, I was like, okay, like who actually am I? What am I going to base this off of? And similar to your experience in high school was, I'm going to base it around my faith and like that's what comes first, right?
Yes.
I'm going to have other things because like my life isn't just my faith, but I'm going to put it first and those morals and is going to be what I stand on, right? So, but we all know that life is a struggle, that mm-hmm. high school is a struggle. So how, like when I met you, as you were sharing your story, I met you about halfway through your high school. Like you had been in the program for a while and I met you after you had bought in, right?
Yeah.
So I knew you as the leader. I knew you as the person like that we could count on in Brenham, as the person like this last year, you were a small group leader for the junior high kids at the youth group.
That was an experience. I loved every. It was an experience, but I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I would come visit and just be like, that poor guy. There's like 18 junior high kids that want to like fight each other, and he's trying to share about God. That's sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, just awesome stuff like that. But there had to be struggles in it, right? So
yes.
why don't you talk about some of the struggles that you had in like living out your faith in at school, mm-hmm. and then how you dealt with that.
Well, I think for the most part, the biggest struggle in high school and in life really is temptation. You know, you know what the high school environment is like. You know, there's all kinds of temptations everywhere. You know, going back to the cliques, you know, how the cool kids are always having a big party or, you know, jacking up your truck to, you know, 8 inches above stock lift, you know. Car nerds probably are not listening to this show, but, you know. Anyways.
There's that one guy that's listening to Catholic radio and his 18-foot truck, and he's like, offended now.
He's
good
like,
job, Blaine.
Yeah. It's like, I want to know who this guy is. But no. It's a real struggle trying to stay true to yourself within those temptations because, you know, when you're going around high school and you're trying to figure out, you know, like I said, who you are and what you want to do, you know, there's always going to be an open door everywhere you look.
I've heard that love is an open door.
Yes, love is an open door. But, you know,
is that scripture? I can't remember.
I don't know. Sam's the go-to.
Elsa chapter 3, verse 6.
Quoted from David Lee Roth. No, I'm kidding. you know, you walk through life and there's always going to be a door open, and it's up to you whether, you know, to decide if it's something that's going to be good for you or bad for you. And that's where, you know, coming into, once you find out who yourself you are, you got to surround yourself by good people. And once you do that, you know, I mean, you'll see who your fake friends and your real friends are in the end, because, you know, they'll accept you for who you are. And I think that's a good key to staying true to yourself is having good people around you that appreciate you for you being yourself. Cause you know me, I'm a rock and roll nerd, you know, all the way. And there's not many people that listen to rock and roll nowadays. Maybe Sam.
It's all this hippity hoppity stuff that the old people listen to, or young people listening to these days.
That's about right. Yeah.
That was my impersonation of Sam, by the way.
That sounded pretty good.
Just like her.
Yo, young whippersnappers, need to cut that racket out.
All right, on the reel. I don't sound like that.
Okay, I don't sound like that.
That's
you
real.
Guys leave me alone.
I sound like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Okay, guys, real rude. It's fine. Keep going.
I'm surprised she could hear us. Keep going, Blaine.
Anyways. Oh, no, she's on to us. I lost my track. Well, going back to what I was saying. The doors. You know, it's all at the end of the day, what it comes down to, you know, you can go to your friends and ask them for, you know, guidance of where to go and how to do things and what to do. But at the end of the day, it's going to be your decision on which path you want to take. You know, and God has already has our path laid out. And, you know, he puts those doors there for us to, you know, choose. You know, he's not going to highlight it with a yellow highlighter or anything like that. But, you know, he relies on us to find it ourselves. And I think that's a big part of growing up and maturing in high school. Because, I mean, when I was in seventh grade, I accepted, you know, reality as itself at a really early age. And that's, I mean, to me personally, that's a really early age. But
accepted reality, like you were like, yes, this table is solid. I agree with that now. Now I see why you struggle in algebra too.
Yeah. No, when I say accept my reality, I say it in the form of, you know, accepting the world as it is, you know, and just how people act and how society is. And I want to be the change I want to see in society. So, you know, going back to accepting the, you know, walking through certain doors, it's more along the lines of taking a step back, evaluating yourself, and, you know, seeing who you are and making that change to be able to do that.
Yeah. So far we've talked about like grounding yourself in your faith, And then also, like you talked about, the importance of having a community of people for whenever these peer pressures come up, for when these temptations go up. So what were some of the key things that kept you strong? Like, you're talking about struggles. Like, I never saw it, right? But I know that it happened. So what were the things that kept you strong amidst peer pressure? How did you handle that?
Cheese nips and Fanta soda. No, I'm kidding.
I really wish you would have said that and then just like stopped and waited for me to ask the next question. All right.
No, but the key things that really kept me...
Wait. So you've been preparing for this interview. Was that a prepared joke?
Or that was just off the dome. That was just off the dome.
I'm very proud of you.
On the fly. But no, the key things that I had to keep telling myself, you know, amongst all of this was... go to adoration, because honestly, I don't know, it's just something about adoration that, you know, it allows you to, you know, talk to the Lord in that time and also kind of have a conversation with yourself, you know, like what's going on, and write down your thoughts. I mean, my little journal here, sorry, my southern drawl kicked out. No, but you know, my journal here, you know, I'd
listen here, you young whippersnapper.
I'm about to give y'all a lesson in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
No, Blaine's totally going to have a show here in a couple of years.
I keep this journal, you know, it's my kind of like my mass / adoration log. I'll just write down thoughts I have during mass or adoration, or, you know, things I expect out of the day, or, you know, things I want to improve in myself. Because, I mean... you have kids, and I know once you clean the house, you know, it doesn't stay clean for very long.
I never clean the house.
No, well.
Yeah. Because why bother?
Yeah, why bother?
I have three
just
children
scoot it,
under
scoot
five.
It under the couch. yeah, but no, the adoration was a big thing. Another thing was keeping myself around good people. I can't stress that enough. Because, you know, there's a certain time when you get out of high school and, you know, there's those friends that really don't text you that much anymore or talk to you. And you're just like, I really wasted my time in high school. You know, you're like, I could have done so much more. And that's a big thing for me. Another way I always stayed on point with everything was always trying to get other people out and experience, you know, the greatness of adoration. And the greatness of taking a step back and really evaluating yourself.
Well, Blaine, you're the man. And I thank you for coming on to today's show. So I know that you listen to the show. Are you going to listen to this one?
Since
you were already here. I heard this part. You listen more than Sam. So, Blaine, you're cool, and I want other people to know how cool you are. They can go find you on the Insta chat.
They can find me on Instagram at Blaine Tamezbro. It's BlaineTamezbro. Or I'm not really on Twitter that much.
Your bio says life's a garden, dig it. All right, man. I vouch for you despite that Instagram bio. So thanks for coming on. Guys, it has been a fun show here today. Sam, you got another shout out in the Instagram reviews of Forte Catholic. The person who gave you a great review says everybody needs a Sam in their life.
Uh-huh.
They updated it after I talked about that on the last episode, and they said, now I'm blushing. So they're blushing because of you.
Oh.
That's so cute.
Very cute.
All right, guys. Go leave a iTunes review so that you can make Sam blush some more. We'll be back next week. See ya!
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.